I've been meditating on hope. And when we sung the last song, I was happy to hear that. Hope is something that I didn't have before I came to Christ. We lived a very hopeless life. But I'm thankful when Christ came into my life because He is hope. The song we just heard about the woman caught in adultery. I used to have a refrigerator. I took it down for some reason, but it said, you can't lift up your brother, your fallen brother, if you still are holding a stone in your hand. And so may the Lord help us to let go of the stones, to be free to pick up our fallen brothers and sisters, and offer them hope. There was once a certain saint lady who went through a tragic experience. Her husband fell in love with another woman and left her. And she found herself having to go back to school. She was sitting in front of a community college, and it had snowed outside. And she sat there in her car wondering how she was going to pay for all of this. Her money was running out, and she just felt so hopeless. And all of a sudden, a bird flew on top of the hood of the car and started pecking in the snow. And that bird did not look at all worried or concerned. And of course, she remembered that, that the Bible says that if God takes care of the sparrows of the air, how much more value are we than the sparrows? Amen. And so just that little message that God sent her to the sparrow, she got a hope was resurrected in her heart. That just as God was taking care of that bird, that He would take care of her. I'm so thankful that the Lord is faithful to resurrect hope in our hearts over and over again. Sometimes we're crossing the border, entering into the USA. Sometimes it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and there's, believe it or not, sometimes there's been a humongous long line on the Mexico side coming in, and it seems to not be moving. It seems like we're going to stay there all night long or all morning long, and I sometimes tell her, say, can you see all the way to the front to see what's happening over there where the gates are at? She says, no, I can't. Or yes, I can. And it seems like if we can just see from here all the way into eternity, it gives us more patience to wait. And while we can't see with our natural eyes from here all the way to the end of our life to know what's going to happen, the Lord does give us those glimpses of faith to be able to see by faith that we have the victory, by faith that He's going to help us to the experience, by faith that it's going to be turned out to His honor and glory. Amen. On one of the border crossings, just a few days ago, we'd never been asked this before recently, but we were asked by one of the men that stand at the booths, at the toll booths, as you're going across, so he asked several questions, and then he asked, well, what do you do for a living? Or what were you doing across the border? And I said, well, for the past 5.5 years, we've been coming across and preaching the gospel to these people, and that's what we're doing tonight. Okay, well, whose van is this? Well, it's ours. How much did you pay for it? $800. Looks at us, and then he says, so what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a preacher. Yeah, but how do you get your money? I said, I pray to God, and He lays it on the heart of people to send me money. I pray to God, and He sends it somewhere or another. He goes, no, really, how do you get your money? And I said, that's the way we get our money. And he just kept on asking me quick. Finally, he went and entered the information to the computer. He says, you can go. I know that might sound very strange to those people. And it might sound strange to some of you here. You might be used to seeing some of the ministry working, and we've always been faithful workers. But I want to tell a little bit about that, because when we moved to, when we sold our home in Rio Rancho, New Mexico, about 3 years ago, we had no reason to sell it. We liked the area, but the Lord called us to Juarez, Mexico. We were 4.5 hours away. For those of you that have not heard this story, for those of you that have, please bear with us. It's part of the message of hope. And so we moved. It's a long story, but we moved there finally into our home. And, of course, we were still holding on to our house cleaning business of 10 years. Where we had cleaned houses for customers for up to 8-9 years. They trusted us with their keys, their alarms, with their credit cards, their diamond rings and everything lying around. We left that. We held on to it until we couldn't hold on anymore. We had to stay in our new home. There was no reason to stay there. And so we started looking for work. I'd been looking for work. The doors had been closed. But I was still looking for work. I had left out about 150 resumes. I had had like 20 visits with the managers of different places. And the doors were not opening up. I had had 4 scattered jobs that only lasted about a month for different reasons, but they were not the work that God had for me. The house cleaning business did not work out there, although we got the license and did the invitations, left out the flyers, I mean. And so the reason it didn't work there was because the women in Mexico cross into the USA and they charge very little for their services, and we can't charge that and live. So I was so desperate coming out of my last job that I left. I was a telemarketer calling and making surveys, believe it or not, sometimes political surveys. I was not at all interested. You had to hold them on the phone from 45 minutes to an hour, and if it got cut off, that would count, it wouldn't count, and you had to make at least 6 surveys full for you to stay on the job. I was making 4, but so were many of them. But I just, it's a long story. I left that job because I was not even allowed to eat. The timer, the computer would time you. You would put it on pause, and it'd be timing you. You'd run to the bathroom and then run back. I couldn't eat. And so I told the Lord, I can't see myself staying in this job for long. So please, Lord, open the door so we can stay here and continue preaching in Juarez, Mexico. And I was leaving one day from work from that telemarketing job. And I was driving in the car, and I started to cry. I was praying to the Lord, pleading with Him to please show us what to do, because I was almost getting the feeling that we shouldn't be there anymore, because how could we support the work the work of preaching and helping the poor in Juarez, Mexico, if we don't have money coming in? So I was driving down the road, leaving that job, very discouraged, very hopeless, with a lot of doubts in my heart, thinking maybe we weren't supposed to be there. And I started to cry, and through my tears I looked up, and a car pulled out in front of me as we were moving. Right now I don't remember the color. It was like some kind of a white car. And the license plate, it was barely beginning to get dark outside. The license plate got real bright. And so my eyes drew attention to the license plate. And the license plate said, BYFAITH, by faith. And of course, as I've said before, my wife and I are living by faith in our salvation. And by faith in our healing, by faith in every aspect of our life. By faith in where we are supposed to live and not live, what to say, what not to say, where to go, where not to go, how to react, how not to react, by faith in everything. But we weren't living in full faith in our finances. And so I went home and I told my wife what I saw. And I tried to follow this car and it disappeared. And I told my wife what I saw. And then she said the Lord had said to her a few days before, faith. She sometimes hears the voice of the Lord audibly to her. He said, faith. And I said, well, I can only say this means one thing, for us to stop looking for work and just, I guess the Lord is saying He's going to provide our money. And I told him, I guess if we lose everything, we'll know it wasn't the Lord telling us this. So we decided to wait by faith. And sure enough, money started coming in to pay all of our finances up. That was almost more than 2.5 years ago. And up to this day, I can say, in fact, recently we paid our house tax that was almost $1,000. And I said, I never thought I would be able to do this without working. Praise the Lord. Why do I say this? Because our faith is attached to our hope. If we don't have faith, we can't have hope. Amen?
Amen.
May the Lord help us to have faith even when it doesn't make sense. Even when it looks like, what are we going to do? This is not making sense. Praise the Lord. I'd like to read a song. It says, once we were wandering far from God and destitute of hope in Him, we came to Him. He shed abroad a living, lasting hope within. Amen. The chorus says, our hope and confidence today are deeply rooted, not in the economy, not in President Obama. Amen. Not in our car or our friends or husband or wife or children, although we appreciate all that. Our hope and confidence today are deeply rooted in the Lord. He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He's the rock. He's not going to be shaken. He can't be destroyed. He's not going to poof, disappear away. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He'll guide us safely all the way and bless according to His word. Since first we learned to hope in Him. Remember when we didn't hope in Him? Since first we learned to hope in Him. To hope in Him. We've proved His wisdom, loving grace, enabling us to conquer sin, which once controlled and hid His face. Today, increasing tests we face. So we can all say amen to that. Today, increasing tests we face, and some may fail to firmly stand. Oh, and do we weep over those? And some may fail to firmly stand, but all can find sufficient grace from Him He saves with mighty hand. Our thoughts of days ahead, our thoughts of days that lie ahead, are clothed with living hope in Him who loved us so His blood He shed that we might be set free from sin. Our thoughts of days that lie ahead are clothed, our thoughts are clothed, robed, amen, with living hope in Him. Our thoughts of days that lie ahead are clothed with living hope in Him. I think sometimes we face distress or depression or distress of the mind because we don't allow the Lord to clothe our thoughts with living hope in Him. Amen. They're clothed with doom. They're clothed with fear. Our thoughts are dressed. We clothe them with fear, with doubt, with despair, with exasperation. Amen. But thank the Lord that He gives us that grace. Amen. To clothe, by His grace, by His Holy Spirit, He clothes our thoughts with living hope in Him. Thank the Lord. That's why we as God's people are cheerful people. Amen. Rejoicing people. Even in the midst of difficulty, the son and I start rejoicing. I say, we're going to rejoice in the Lord, and we're going to have hope that it's going to work out according to His will. And this brings us to a verse that I've always loved in the Bible. It says in Romans chapter 4 and verse 18, talking about Abraham, who says, it says about him, who against hope believed in hope. Don't you all love that verse? I've always loved it. Who against hope. Don't you ever, have you sometimes felt that everything's working against you? Everything you do sometimes is just, you're doing your best, and it's just the devil sending out one trial to the other. People are not cooperating. Your car's not cooperating. Nothing. It just seems nothing is cooperating. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. I'm going to read the rest of the verses, starting with verse 13 up to verse 25. We're in Romans chapter 4, verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. That right away shatters all of the law. We're no longer the law. We don't live by the law of the Old Testament. We live by the law of the Spirit. But we don't live by the law of the Old Testament anymore. It's our example. We derive strength from it, but we live by grace. But through the righteousness of faith. Faith is what gives us hope. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. If we're trusting in the law, that we're going to be justified by keeping, crossing the T's and dotting the I's of the law, we're making void faith, or faith void. And the promise made of none effect. Verse 15, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith, of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Yes. 18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, praise the Lord, he was able to, he's able to perform it, brothers and sisters. Amen. We need to be persuaded. We need to believe, have hope. We need to be fully persuaded that he is able to perform his part of the deal. Amen. 22. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him. 24. But for us also, it was for us also that we should be reading this and getting faith from this, getting inspiration from it. But for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. Praise the Lord. The Lord help us. We all know the story. God had promised Abraham beforehand that through his seed, this mighty nation would rise up, that we know as the Jews today, God's people at that time. They would be like the sand of the sea, like the stars that we see at night, and the amounts of them in multitude. But yet, his wife couldn't have any children. Wouldn't that be hoping against all hope? Where are these children going to come from? And then they tried to do their own will. Had a child another way. It wasn't God's will. They still had to do it God's way. Amen? And so, here was Abraham, 100 years old, and Sarah was 90 years old. You don't hear a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman having a child today. This was a miracle of the Lord. A woman whose womb was barren. The Lord did a miracle. Thank the Lord. And maybe it seems that way to us in many of our experiences, that what needs to be there for it to happen is not there. We don't have it. I don't see it. But yet we need to trust that if it's the Lord's will and we're in His will, that He's going to make it happen. Amen? Amen. Thank the Lord. Not maybe in our timing. It didn't happen in the timing that that this couple expected. It happened later, but it happened because they waited and trusted in the Lord. Amen. let's go over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4. Excuse me, that's not. Praise the Lord. It's Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 through 20. And the verse that's I'd like to focus on says, who fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. To lay hold upon the hope set before us. And I like to read verses 13 through 20. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had partially endured, he obtained the promise. 16. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. 18. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. It's sure and steadfast. And which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Thank the Lord. This morning, we were looking out of the home, the window of the home where we're staying. And the sister of the home has some bird feeders, and she has some squirrels in the backyard, and she's placed the bird feeders in certain places, and I guess the squirrels have been getting into them. So she strategically placed the bird feeder in a place where she was sure the squirrels would not get to it, and it was right by her window right there. And she was telling us about the bird feeders, and we turned around, and there was a squirrel that was right there at our window, and we were looking out the window as we were eating. And this squirrel, it had already tasted what was in there, right? I already knew there were seeds, and I guess they're getting ready for winter, storing their seeds for winter. And so this squirrel, I don't know if they have suction cups, I don't know what they have, but he was crawling up the window like this, sticking in the window, and there was the bird feeder, and it was trying, at first we thought it was climbing up the window, but it was trying to get back again at the bird feeder, even though it had been changed to keep it from doing it. It was heading on with the challenge and trying to get it. And so he was holding on to the window, and there was the bird feeder swinging, and you could tell he was trying to reach it, and then he almost fell off, and he held on again. He was trying to grasp it. He was trying to grasp it, and he almost did. Why was he trying to grasp it? Because he knew there was something there good for him. But he couldn't grasp it. It was too far out of his reach. The sister had done a good job. I don't know, maybe tomorrow we'll find out she didn't. But she had done a good job, and he was not able to get to it this morning. But here he was trying to grasp at it and couldn't grab a hold of it. Aren't we thankful that the hope that we have in Christ is attainable for all of us? It's at the reach of all of us through faith in Christ. Because faith comes forth as a result of, a hope comes forth as a result of faith. Amen? And so, poor squirrel, I feel kind of sorry for her, or it. But thank the Lord that we don't have to feel sorry for anybody in the world, because we can tell them how they can attain this through faith in Christ. Thank the Lord, for we are saved by grace through faith in Christ. Thank the Lord. Once I heard about a cord jumper. He was wanting to break the world's record. And so jumping from a hot air helium balloon. And so he was on this hot air balloon up there, and he had his bungee cord, and he was going to jump off it, of course. It was going to bounce him back up. But he miscalculated. I don't know how he miscalculated. Maybe he didn't calculate how long this bungee cord would stretch. Or maybe he made it too long. I don't know. But he jumped down, and he was jumping down and maybe reaching the end. I'm sure he's wondering, wow, this is taking a long time. It never jumped back because it was too long, and he splat at the bottom of the earth. Aren't we thankful that it's not like that with us? We don't have to worry about that. We can be sure that this is going to hold us. It's going to hold us, this hope, this grace, this Jesus, the Savior of ours. He's going to hold us till the end if we keep on practicing faith in Him. Amen? Amen? Practicing faith in Him that gives us hope in the hard times. Amen? My wife tells a kind of a comical story from her country. There was a man that was living in a two-story home, and he was descending the stairs of the two-story home, and I guess he didn't grasp the bar of the handrail, the rail of the stairs, firm enough, and he tripped and he tumbled down the stairs. And a woman was at the bottom, and she goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, did you fall?" She goes, "No, I usually go down the stairs this way." Well, he was kind of being a little bit facetious there, because, I mean, she asked an obvious question, "Oh, did you fall?" But brothers and sisters, aren't we thankful that we can grab a hold of this hope? Thank the Lord, like it says right there, thank the Lord, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul. Thank the Lord, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. This hope is not going to slip from us. We don't have to stumble and fall unless we choose to lose our faith in the Lord and not continue putting our faith in Him. Thank the Lord. We don't have to stumble down and fall and hurt ourselves. We don't have to worry about splatting at the bottom. Amen. Thank the Lord. I'm so thankful for the Lord. We don't have to worry about not getting the sustenance that we need because the bird feeder is out of our grasp. Amen. Thank the Lord. It's all in our grasp by faith. By grace through faith are we saved. Thank the Lord. Let's go over, brothers and sisters, to Ezekiel. Sister Mary mentioned this in her prayer, and I said, praise the Lord, it's confirming what I already had, the Lord had already given me. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. We are all familiar with these verses. It says, "And the hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones." Verse 2. "And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest." I want to stop right there. This was a valley of dry bones. How many of you have seen dry bones? A dead cat or dead cow and just totally bleached and there's nothing on, not even skin. It's just lying there in the desert. You would never think of it coming back to life again. It's past all hope, right? It's against hope. There's no way it can come back again. But God brought this prophet and he used this picture, this analogy of this vision before him of the valley of dry bones, who represented Israel, the church of God at that time, if you want to look at it that way. And the church of God at that time was a valley of dry bones. God's people, his chosen people. There was once a certain sister, we were staying in her home, and she told me a story about bread. She wanted to make bread. And a friend of hers had given her a recipe. She had never made it before, so she followed the recipe and she made her bread and followed in as much as she could, and she put it in the oven, and after it had baked, she took it out of the oven, and she was so happy she took it out of the pan, and it looked a little dark, but it looked okay, so she let it cool off a little bit, and then she started to cut it, and it was like a rock. She couldn't cut through it. And then she got it and hit it on the counter. It was like a rock, and she felt so discouraged, and I'm going to throw it away, she said. I just really messed up. I'm really not a baker. So she called her friend first and decided to call him and ask him what she might have done wrong. And she went through the process and he explained to her what she had done wrong. She said, "Well, I'm going to throw it away and try it again." He goes, "No, don't throw away that bread. You can still make something out of it." "Out of that bread?" "Yes, you can make bread pudding." In Spanish, it's called capirutada. It's a very popular dessert in Mexico. You can make bread pudding out of it. And so, how? She says, "Try to break it in the best way you can." She goes, "But not even the dog ate it. I broke up a piece and the dog just threw it on the floor. He didn't want to eat it." He goes, "Don't worry, just follow my recipe. There's hope for your bread. Amen? Just follow the recipe that I give you." And so she broke it in the best way she could, and she got the milk out, poured the milk in, and the egg, and the cinnamon, and the raisins, and all this wonderful stuff that goes into the capirutada, mixed it all together and threw it in a pan and then put it in the oven. She baked it and she took it out and it came out real fluffy and beautiful, golden crisp on the top, and even smelled good. Well, she left it on the table. She had to go do something real quick. When she came back, her children had found it and eaten all of it. Amen? That's just a story about bread. But, you know, maybe we could place ourselves as being that bread. Maybe we can look at one of our brothers or sisters or family members, friends, whoever it might be, husband or wife, as being that bread. And you're going, "He's really messed up. She's really messed up. There's no more hope. We've tried again and again. We're just going to throw away our hope in him or in her. There's no sense in even trying. There's no sense in even saying anything about the Lord to him or her anymore. We're just going to talk about the weather from now on. May the Lord help us." Aren't we thankful, Lord, that there is hope? Thank the Lord that there is hope. The valley, it was a valley of dry bones. This bread was dry. But God showed this prophet the recipe from him that would resurrect this valley of dry bones. Amen. Thank the Lord. Verse 2. We're in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 2. "And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest." He does know. With hope, the answer is yes. Verse 4. "Again he said unto me, prophesy again unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. O ye dry bones, hear." You mean the recipe is hearing? You can be resurrected by hearing? Hearing what? The television? Hearing the radio? Hearing the gossip of the neighbors? No, by hearing the word of the Lord. Where are we going to hear the word of the Lord, saints, in front of the television? At the casino? At the discotheque? No. We're going to hear it in a place like this. Oh, saints, let's not miss the meetings. It might be the very thing you need to resurrect your hope, to resurrect your love, to resurrect your compassion, to restore it again in hope. Thank the Lord. Don't miss your time of reading the Bible in the morning or in the evening, whenever you do it. Don't let us not miss our time of prayer, brothers and sisters. It's by hearing His word. That was part of the recipe. Thank the Lord. It might seem very foolish, but God has chosen by the foolishness of preaching to do what? Yes. To save the world. Amen? Amen? Don't underestimate the power of God's word. If you're not reading the word of God every day, you are underestimating the power of God's word. You might be wondering, why am I so discouraged? Why don't I have power to overcome? Why don't I have joy in my life? Are we neglecting the reading of God's word? Let us not underestimate the beautiful, precious moments of reading God's word. I love it. I enjoy it. But the devil does everything to try to hinder me from doing it. Praise the Lord. He's not getting the victory. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so, verse 5, thus said the Lord unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin. Hope. Skin. Now there's something more. And put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. 7. Oh, so I prophesied as I was commanded. Has the Lord ever commanded you by the Holy Spirit to say something to somebody? To make a phone call, to write a letter, to go up and talk to a certain person, and you've said no, they're going to think I'm stupid, they're going to turn me down. Let's not fall for that, brothers and sisters. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, as you speak the word, brothers and sisters, the word that the Lord gives you, there was a noise. Something began to happen. And behold, a shaking. Have you ever spoken to somebody and they start shaking, getting nervous? There's a shaking going on. The word is beginning to affect them. Thank the Lord. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. How many of you have put a puzzle together? In the beginning, it seems impossible to put it together. But you start by one piece at a time, right? You have the picture. The picture is Jesus. We have the picture. We know what our husband should look like, our wife, our children, our mother, our father, our neighbors that have no hope. But they don't look like that picture. And we go, oh, there's no way that they will... She'll never change. He'll never change. There's no way. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. I put together puzzles and I just love it when it's starting to look more like the picture, don't you? You get more hopeful and more inspired. You want to work some more on it because you're almost done. Those of you that like to work on jigsaw puzzles, amen? Verse 8. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Sometimes we see people changing, but we still know that they don't have the spirit of it. They still don't have life in the Lord. But you see some changes and you wonder, do they just have a form? Are they just doing this because I told them or just because they saw me do it? And they don't really seem to have life. Don't give up hope. Verse 9. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon the slain. Oh, we're living in a world of slain people. Slain. They have no life in the Lord. They've been slain by their sin. Slain by hopelessness. And that they may live. Verse 10. So I prophesied, and as he commanded me. Listen again. He's commanded us to do something. Are we doing it? And the breath came into them. And they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Verse 11. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. Our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Do you feel that your hope is lost, that your bones are dried. Someone once made me some cookies, some molasses cookies, and I left them outside. And molasses cookies, if the moisture goes out of them, they get really hard like a rock. And I think I have the right kind of cookie. Anyway, I was going to throw them away, but someone said, oh, don't throw them away. Put them in a jar with a slice of apple and close the jar in there. And I said, what will happen? I said, the moisture will make them like new again. And so I did it, and sure enough, it worked. Amen? That's the Word of God. Are you doubting? Are we doubting the power of the Word of God today? When was the last time you read your Bible? I mean, really read it, not a verse. Really read one chapter a day or two chapters a day. Do you not believe that you place that apple in there and it'll make that hard heart of yours, of ours, soft again? Yes, it will. Thank the Lord. They were very dry bones. They thought their hope had been lost. Our bones are dried. Oh, our bones are dried. What can I do? Should I throw it all away? No. Allow the Lord to place that word in your heart. Allow Him to write every word. Write in my heart every word. You know, tell me the story of Jesus. I love that song. Write on my heart every word. Amen. Thank the Lord. Oh, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Verse 12. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. Oh, thank the Lord. Opening a grave is kind of scary, but not for the Lord. And cause you to come up out of your graves. Do you feel you're in a grave? A grave of despair, a grave of hopelessness, a grave of just being overwhelmed by the things of life. And cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your graves. And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. Oh, thank the Lord. And I shall place you in your own land. Then ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed it, saith the Lord. Thank the Lord. Last night we told a story about the frozen puppy. Those of you that are right here, I'll repeat it again. We were playing basketball sometime back when I was about 23 years old. I'm 46 now. And I was a missionary in the church that we left. And I was playing basketball just only to be to show myself friendly to the young kids in the church. And that they would open up to me and we could have a rapport going on. If they have problems, they could open up to me. And we were playing outside. And it was snowing and there was a wood pile in the corner. And I heard something that went like that. And so we stopped playing basketball. I said, there's noise coming out from that wood pile there. And so we went over there and we started taking away the logs, the wood. And sure enough, the mother, this dog had her puppies. And we saw the puppies all moving around under her. But there was one that she pushed away. And they said, oh, she pushed her. They do that because it was sick. And they push them away because they know they're sick. And now it had frozen. It was like this, frozen in a corner. And so they said, oh, we'll throw it away later. Let's go ahead and do something. And I said, oh, no, I think don't you think we can do something for it? No, just leave it alone. So when they went away, I went over there and I got the puppy. And I took it inside the house. They were living in an adobe home. And I went to the fireplace and I got the puppy. And I didn't do it like a weenie roast, like a hot dog roast. I put it far away from the fire and I started turning like this and moving it. And after some time, the puppy did this. Started doing this, and I started getting hopeful, and I started moving it some more, and it started getting fluffy, and the dog lived. Praise the Lord. Can these bones live? I brought it to the source of life, the fire that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. His word is like a fire, brothers and sisters, a fire that burns within us. We can get near this fire. Don't be far away from that fire, brothers and sisters. The coldness, the cold sin of this world will get to you and freeze you where you're at. Like that song says, sin will take you further than you ever thought. Amen? So, I didn't tell the rest of the story last night. This puppy lived. I have a picture now real big when I was younger of it. And it lived to, I don't know how old. And when I think of it, I think, wow, what if I hadn't done that for it? It would have not lived. Do you know that maybe the Lord is going to use you, commanding you to speak His word. He's pouring out hope on you, and you're not receiving it for somebody. What if you don't receive it? Now, we're not saying the Lord is limited to one person, but what if He's the one that you prepared to speak the word to that person? He preordained it. He foreordained that you'd be the one and you rebelled against it. Oh, what a responsibility that will be on the judgment day. Next time the Holy Spirit tells us, go speak to them. Sing in that song. Visit them. Call them. Go out and invite your neighbors to the meeting. You better do it. We better do it. And as a result of doing it, something that seems so hard and so impossible, oh, I'm timid, I can't do it. You're going to want to do it from then on. I tell you that. You're going to want to do it. My wife and I are so tired after a mission to Juarez, Mexico. But when we come back after seeing souls repent and souls do things, getting more close to the Lord, oh, we forget all about being tired. I'm just rejoicing. And I tell us, I can't believe I'm still singing at 2 o'clock in the morning. Thank the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go. Thank the Lord. To Amos. Amos is right after Joel, right before Obadiah. But that doesn't help you a whole lot. But Amos chapter 3, verse 11. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, an adversary they shall be even round about the land, and he shall bring down thy strength from thee, and thy places shall be spoiled. Verse 12. Thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so will the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of a bed and in Damascus in a couch. Now, I don't know if this verse is fully meant to be positive or negative. I'm taking it as positive. Have you ever loved something so much that you tried to rescue even pieces of it as you took it out? Appreciated something so much? Maybe you haven't. I can just picture the shepherd that loves his sheep trying to take out, like it says there, what's left over out of the mouth of the animal that's trying to get it. As a shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear. Don't you think that person that's taking it out of the mouth has some hope? Maybe we're looking at those around us and it seems that all that's left is two ears, a piece of a leg. There's not much left in their lives. We don't look very hopeful towards them, amen? As a shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear. We've met some people in Juarez, Mexico like that, believe me. Not only are they prostituting themselves, not only are they injecting themselves with drugs, they're stealing and they're doing everything you can imagine. One person, all at the same time, you're going, there's no, you might as well give up on that one. Should we? No, we shouldn't. The Valley of Dry Bones, there's hope for anyone. There's hope for anyone. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are we that willing? Do we look at somebody and go, oh, all that's left is the shredded piece of ear and two legs. This is the proof. Do you really love them? Do you have hope? May the Lord inspire hope tonight in us. May the Lord inspire hope for our own selves and for those around us. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Luke chapter 13. Luke 13, verse 6. He spake also this parable. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the one who shed his blood to save us, is speaking these words right here. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. 7. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years, I'm getting tired of it. 3 years already. I've been doing this over and over again. Then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why cumber it at the ground? It's taking up space. It's taking up my time. 8. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year. Yes. Do you hear a voice telling you today? Give it one more chance. Yes. Don't give up on her, on him. Don't give up on yourself. And he answered said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. Verse 9. And if it bear fruit well, And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. Aren't you thankful the Lord has not cut you down? We need to have a heart for the lost. How can we just rejoice and enjoy the songs and enjoy the fellowship of God's people and not think about the lost? One wanted to cut it down. It's cutting down on efficiency. They're getting in the way. We're tired of it. Sometimes those thoughts come into all of our hearts. Is this really worth it? Spending this time doing this or doing that? Yes, it is worth it. It is worth it. Don't let the devil tell you that it is not worth it. I'm thankful that Jesus said, I'm not going to cut it down. We're not going to destroy the world. I'm going to go. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There are three but one God. But that second person in the Godhead said, I'll go. I'll take the blame. I'll go down and be misunderstood and hated and abused and rejected. Oh no, I can't go and bite my neighbors. They're going to abuse me and reject me, and they're not going to want to talk to us anymore. He was willing. He said, I'll go. Are we willing to say, I'll go? I'll go. I'll go because I love him. Father, don't cut him down yet. I'll go because I love him. I'll take the blame for them. You can whip me. I'll take the whipping. Father, I'll take the whipping on the cross of Calvary. I'll be beaten and bruised for them. I'll bear the crown of thorns. I'm willing to be nailed for them. I'm pure and spotless, but I'll become sin for them. Amen. So that they can have hope and righteousness and enjoy the fellowship that we do. So that they can be restored. Through the cross of Calvary, I'll bring hope through the world. I'll go. Don't cut it down. Sometimes we wonder, Sister Maxine and us, we were talking about the end of the world and why the Lord has not destroyed the world. It's because of the long-suffering of the Lord. Amen. It's because He knows that if He comes back, maybe you're not ready yet. You might think you are. Maybe you're not. Maybe your relatives aren't ready yet. And He's being merciful. He's long-suffering. And He doesn't want to cut us down yet. Thank the Lord. All of us that have gardened know what it means to cultivate something and dig about it and prune it and water it, hoping. I've done that with many plants and trees. Sometimes I've been disappointed. Other times I have not. I've been surprised. Amen. Thank the Lord. Once I've done it with some and I've seen that it works, and I have hope to do it again. Brothers and sisters, if we have hope and we've seen others change, then we know that there can be others yet that can change. If your great-grandparents came to the Church of God, or whoever it might have been, then we have hope that even in this generation, 2011, others can be brought out of deception and be brought, not just as talking about to a body of people, but brought into the true understanding, the full light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank the Lord. Brought out of the cages of sectism where we were. Thank the Lord that He brought us out. Amen. Oh, may we have hope that it will bear fruit. Thank the Lord. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. It says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. Having no hope. And without God in the world, 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by your own works. Made nigh by the blood of Christ. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Made nigh by the blood of Christ. Yes, the Lord wants us to read the Bible. Yes, He wants us to be faithful in getting to the meetings. Yes, He wants the women to dress right. And yes, He wants the men to dress right. We are an example to the world. He wants us to speak right. He wants us to act right, but that's not going to save us. That comes as a result of being saved. Amen? Amen. Thank the Lord. We're saved by the blood of Jesus. But when we're His, He's going to take this old rotten temple, filthy temple, cleanse it and fill it with His Holy Spirit and change it. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. The glory will be to Him. Thank the Lord. Amen. In years past, I've read of people coming in rafts from Cuba. Maybe you've read about it. And they endangered their lives. There were stories about some. It's always been happening, but specific stories that they covered in magazines that you might have read about, like Time Magazine or Newsweek. And they show men and women that endangered their lives leaving Cuba, where they're destitute and basically under a tyrant at those times. And they put together logs, sticks, whatever, and they throw themselves on the log and hope that it'll take them to the shore of the United States. What would make somebody endanger their whole life and their wife and children? What would do it? Hope of something better. Amen? Thank the Lord. Hope of something better. You might wonder why all these Mexicans come into the USA. Why? Oh, yeah. You might wonder. But if you were living there, you might go, I know. I don't wonder anymore. Amen? Thank the Lord. We've been in their homes. But thank the Lord. The Lord can give them grace to remain where they're at. But spiritually speaking, we don't want to remain where we're at if we're under the tyrant of the Satan of this world. If we're in bondage, we have no hope. We're willing to risk it all. We're willing to take up our cross, follow Him, and deny ourselves. Amen? Thank the Lord. Oh, I don't want to be Christian. It costs too much. Talk to those people leaving Cuba, throwing themselves in that raft. Sharks can eat them up. They can die of thirst on the raft. What they've done in hoping that they might be the ones to get to the shore of the United States, the land of opportunity, where they can work and feed their hungry children, get an education. Amen? Thank the Lord. Yes? Do you know that if my dad had not crossed from Mexico into the USA illegally, I'm not condoning crossing illegally, please. We don't believe in it. We believe in obeying the laws of the land. But if he had not done it, I would not be speaking to you in English right now. I would probably not even have met y'all because I'd be in Mexico. I would have been born in Mexico. I was born in the USA. My dad had a vision of something better and crossed into the USA. Later on, married my mother and she made him legal. My dad was a stranger to the laws and the benefits of the United States. Are we getting the picture, saints? That at that time we were without Christ, being aliens. My dad was an alien to the benefits of the United States, from the Commonwealth of Israel, having no hope of something better and without God. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. When my dad married my mother, through her marriage, he was made nigh to all these benefits without fearing of hiding from the law anymore and, you know, oh, the Lord's coming to hide. No, you know, no more fear anymore. Amen? When you've been set free, made nigh by the blood of Christ to the promises, made nigh means brought close, right? Thank the Lord. I married my wife. She wasn't a U.S. citizen. But now she is a U.S. resident, amen, because she married me. Who are we trying to marry you to today? Jesus Christ. Do you understand how important it is to be married to Him? Or to be betrothed to Him as we are right now? That final marriage is coming up. But we're promised, we commit our lives to Him. Amen? We're promised to Him. And the final day will be actually, that marriage will be sealed at the wedding feast. Amen? If I understand it right. Amen? Thank the Lord. The Jews, the betrothal was a legally signed thing, just like the final wedding, amen? So right now we're legally His. We're his bride, but and that day will be finalized, amen? Thank the Lord. The bride is preparing herself, amen? Putting on the righteousness of the saints, putting on the righteousness of the saints that comes from Christ, amen? Thank the Lord. Made nigh by the blood of Christ. Oh, I just love that. I love the idea of the blood of Christ, brothers and sisters. It is our hope. It is our all. The blood of Christ that is applied by the Holy Spirit to our lives. Thank the Lord. Let's go to, not changing the topic, but changing the direction of the topic. Let's go to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19, verse 18. Now, this is talking about the hope of our children. And the hope of our children being what they should be as they're small is laid heavily on the shoulders of the parents. Many parents today are working and shrugging off the responsibility of teaching their children. They're running around like wild monkeys. They don't tell them or teach them anything. And they hope that they won't grow up to be a criminal, an axe murderer. They hope they won't rob the bank. They're going to do it. Amen. They're not being taught any morals. They're not being restrained. They're not being restricted. They're not being disciplined. Oh, no. I read recently in Time magazine that a school teacher got in trouble. I don't know what state it was in. I didn't realize that it was still lawful by the law to spank kids with a paddle, because where I was, they don't have that law anymore. But many states yet have that law where it is lawful when a child does something wrong to take him out to the principal's office and spank them with a paddle. Did you know that? They still do that. I didn't know that. But this principal got in trouble because she was a young woman and he spanked her too hard because he's a man. Should have let a woman do it. And she was bruised in that part. And she couldn't sleep that night. And the parents and all this big deal was made out of it. Well, the solution isn't to take away paddling. The solution is to be careful how we discipline, amen? Not abuse. The solution is not a way to go, oh, so many children are abused today. I'm not going to discipline my child. No. That's not what the Bible says. Where do we get that idea from? Amen? Thank the Lord. The Bible says that the hope of your child is that you discipline them. The hope of our children is that we discipline them. Amen? Thank the Lord. You want hope for your child? Discipline him or her. Amen? Let's read Proverbs 19, verse 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope. While there is hope. That implies that there will be a time when there will be no more hope. And let not thy soul spare for his crying. Oh, I'm so tired of him crying. I'm just going to let him do it. Every time I spank him, he cries. Every time I spank her, she cries. It embarrasses me. They think I'm abusing him or her. Are you going to let the world conform you to its mold, or are you going to do what the Bible says? Amen? We're not talking about discipline doesn't always have to be spanking. It can be taking something away, saying, no, you can't do it. No, you can't go there. Who's the parent? Your child or you? I think today the parents are the children and the children are the parents. How sad that is. I've seen kids doing this. Don't do it. And they can do this to their mom. No. To the mom. I'm going, stop it now. Nip it in the bud now. Before, when he gets up, he gets the shotgun out and shoots you next when he turns 18 or 15. It's happening in the United States, brothers and sisters. They don't respect the parents anymore. You want hope for your child? Discipline him or her. Give him boundaries. Give her boundaries. I'm not a parent, but I helped raise my two little sisters. My dad died and I had to put on diapers on my two-year-old and on my four-year-old. And I had to discipline them. And one day, as my brother... My dad had been dead just a few months, and my brother thought, well, now dad is dead, and he was a disciplinarian. We were afraid of him. We really respected him, although he did more on the abusing side. I can't say he abused us, but it hurt in a not a right way. He was too hard. Amen? But anyway, he didn't know. I'm not condemning my dad, but yet we respected him. When he said something, you better do it. But look at you. What did it say? You go do it. Amen? If your child does not respond like that, they don't respect you. No, I don't want to do it. We'll do it tomorrow. You better work on that respecting. You want hope for your child. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Thank the Lord. Well, one day my brother, I was, I think, 17 and he was like 14. My mother wanted him to do something. He was starting to go out into the world, kind of dabbling in drugs and bad friends. And my mother was telling him no. And my mother couldn't handle him. And he pushed her or something. And I got so upset. I got him and I grabbed him. And I knocked him down and I hauled the knife down like this. And I said, you're not going to do that to my mother again. And he said, yes, I am. And he tried to get up and he couldn't. Thank the Lord. Later on, he got bigger than me. But at that time, I was bigger than him. And for an hour, I held him down. And for an hour, he would not give up. He was sweating. I was sweating. I said, crying, I'm not going to let you go until you tell my mom I'm sorry and promise you're not going to do it anymore. Nobody had ever broken his will before. That day, his will was broken. He finally, I'm sorry, Mama, I won't do it again. He said, and I let him go. And I said, you do it again, something worse is going to happen to you, I said. Oh. From then on, everything I said, he'd do it. Amen. Maybe not in the same way I wanted it done, but he knew that we meant business. Amen. Thank the Lord. What if we had let him do it? Maybe he would have killed my mother. I don't know. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Amen. Thank the Lord. Let's go to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child. We all know this verse. At least we should. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. He won't depart from that teaching, brothers and sisters. He won't. What do I mean by that? It's always going to be in his mind. It's always going to be there. It will shape and mold him to a certain point. It will. It doesn't matter how much she rebels or she. We thank the Lord that I know there's some here that you've done this and your children are examples today. They're radiating with the love of God. They're radiating with the compassion and mercy of God. They're struggling teenagers, but yet they're doing the right thing. Amen. Thank the Lord. Some of them are, you're seeing their grandchildren. They're raising your grandchildren like you raised them and you're thankful. Thank the Lord. It says train up. We were in a home and they had a dog. We were house cleaning. And this dog, when you'd go in, she'd jump on, she'd get excited and she'd jump on us and and they didn't give her any training. Well, I would secretly train her while I'd be cleaning. I'd say, hop, sit. And I'd help, sit, sit. And she'd get up and I'd go, no, sit. She'd get up, no, sit, sit. And I held her for a while I was dusting and cleaning. And then I'd walk away and I'd do it. And she's there for a while. She'd stay there for a minute. And then she'd get up and say, no. I said, sit. Sit. Well, I didn't think it was working. Well, one day, I was doing something. And I said, hop, sit. And she sat down. And the owner was there. And he said, how did she do that? He said, have you been working with her? I said, well, kind of. I didn't tell him everything. But if it works on a dog, how much more is it going to work on a human that has more reasoning than a dog? Amen? Thank the Lord. I'm so thankful that when we came to the Church of God, we didn't see kids running all over the place in the meeting. I mean, after the meeting, of course, they've been tired of sitting down, you know, but in the meeting, I don't see any kids running around right now. They're sitting down. Amen. Why? Because you trained them. Amen. In Juarez, Mexico, we get this over and over again. The kids come and they can't stay sitting down. I'm preaching and they're over here by me, moving my leg and doing this. I'm going, oh, Lord, give me grace, please, Father. I almost step on them because I move around a lot. And oh, Father, help us. And so we start teaching them what the Bible says. And we've seen the results. They learn to sit down. One little child, he'll come. He's only a year and a half old, and he'll come to the altar. He can't. He's real short, so he'll pray like this at the altar. He's been all like this. Every time, he'll come to the altar and pray. And I pray, oh, Lord, help him to be an obedient child. Be with him, encourage him, teach him. Then he runs back to his seat. 1.5 years old, he started doing that when he came to our meetings. They left the Assemblies of God. Praise the Lord. Oh, we thank the Lord for training. While there is hope. How many of you have had a tree? And while that tree is still young, you can bend it in the way you want. Have you seen those trees? I forget what they're called. Maybe bonsai. And they twist them like that. Have you ever wondered how they twisted them? They did it when there was still hope to do it. They were still flexible. They braid them. Have you seen them? Have you seen braided trees that are not thick? They did it when there was still hope to do it. It could still be, when they're still young, they're still flexible. Praise the Lord. Yes. You might go, oh, this is too hard. Don't give up. That dog finally sat down when I said sit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 15. We're in Proverbs 22, verse 15. This is not the word of Tony. This Proverbs is older than 2,000 years old. Before, I'm only 46 years old. This is the word of God. Let's not reject the word of God, brothers and sisters. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. It's bound there. But there's one thing that'll drive it out. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. As we were hearing at Monarch, the rod of correction doesn't always have to be a stick or a paddle or a fly swatter. It can be that too if it's applied in the place that God provided to swat at. Not in the face, not in the head, not in the, you know, y'all know this. But if you apply it to the place where God padded real well for that purpose, it'll drive out the foolishness, brothers and sisters. Amen. Thank the Lord. But the rod of correction is also words. That's the route of correction. Reasoning with your child. Tell him why you're telling him, why you want him to do it, why you want her to do it, why you don't. Reason with it first. Then if that doesn't work, then lay down what's going to happen. It's going to burn and it's going to sting. Lissa and I have laughed because 1 year here at Guthrie, a little baby was crying. I don't know what the reason was, but obviously the mother knew that he was not crying because he had a wet diaper. He wasn't crying because he was sick. It was another reason. So she said, obviously she said to him, I can just hear it, do you want to stay in here or do you want to go into the bathroom? And because as she or he was taking him out of the meeting at Guthrie, he was going, no, mommy, I don't want to go to the bathroom. I don't want to go to the bathroom. I knew what was going on. Maybe we should need to apply some of that. Amen? While they're young, thank the Lord. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 23, there's hope in this, brothers and sisters. Hope. Do you feel overwhelmed by raising your children? There's hope. There's hope. Thank the Lord. Proverbs 23, verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. I thank the Lord that there is hope. I thank the Lord that we have a Father in heaven that corrects us. Thank the Lord. I'm a grown child, but I still get corrected. I still feel the rod. I don't always like it, but I'm thankful for past years that I can say I'm thankful He used the rod on me. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Amen. Do you love your child enough to chasten him or her? Oh, I hope we do. There's hope in it, brothers and sisters. Thank the Lord. Let's go to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verse 15. We're talking about the hope of your children. The hope of our children. Do you want to see the next generation, if the Lord doesn't come back, raised up with more missionaries, ministers, a good husband, a good wife, whatever the Lord calls, those that are have their gifts exercised in the body of Christ, the church of God. Amen. Proverbs 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Oh, wait a minute. I thought that was going to destroy their creativity, and it's going to leave them with mental problems because I hit them too much. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. I've often been in stores, and those children scream so loud, I just can't believe the loudness of it. And the mother and the father can't do anything, and I'm going, leave that child with me a week. Amen? Praise the Lord. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Verse 17, correct thy son, and he will not let you sleep at night. Oh no, it doesn't say that. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Oh, do you want to feel delighted with your children? There's hope through correction. Thank the Lord. Proverbs 30, verse 17. Thank the Lord. Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocketh at his father. My mother used to tell me, the ravens are going to poke out your eyes. I go, oh, what does that mean? Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despises to obey his mother, the raven of the valley shall pick out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Ooh. Do you kids want to be poked by a raven? I don't know what that means, but it doesn't sound good to me. Oh, may the Lord help us to obey our parents. Those of you that are old enough to obey your parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Children, obey your parents in all things. There's hope for you if you obey your parents. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Changing direction a little bit, but we're remaining with hope yet. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Aren't you thankful that it's not just about working and putting a little bit of money in the bank and then you die and leave it to your children? There's more hope than that. Thank the Lord. Yes, it's good to leave something for your children. I think you're good parents if you're doing that. But it's better to leave your children a heritage of a godly, faithful life to the Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord. Because when you die, you have something awaiting you in heaven. We were singing about that crown. I just love the songs of the Church of God. Those songs that were inspired by those older servants of the Lord that even though they're old, they're still fresh and new. Praise the Lord. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Then let's go over to verse 51. We're in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. All be changed. 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. There's the last change. We're speaking about restoration and renewing and all those things last night. Here's the last change. And we shall be changed. Verse 53. For this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. One time in Mexico, there was a missionary that had gone there from the United States, and they were staying in a batch as missionaries, and one of the other missionaries that he's with, a native of Mexico, brought in a scorpion, one of those real dangerous scorpions, and he had it in his hand. And this missionary before him to Mexico, he knew about the scorpions. He had been warned to stay away from them. And he's like, what are you doing? Why do you have the scorpion in your hand? He was like, scared. He's going to sting you. He was like, no, he's not. He'll take in your hand. No way, I'm not taking that thing in my hand. No way, he's saying. You can take it. Why do you want me to take it in your hand? In your hand. I cut off the stinger, he said. It can't sting you anymore. He had cut off the stinger. Scorpions sting with the tail. Amen. And praise the Lord, isn't that what, when we come to faith in Christ, he cuts up the stinger. You know what the stinger is? Sin. It's your sin. We have computers today, and you can store all kinds of things in a little nothing. Amen? It's tons of information. Little microchips. All kinds of information. God is doing that with everything we're doing and saying. And if it's been sin and mistakes and we have not repented, it will be repeated on that day. Amen? The camera will be played. We will be judged according to our works. Amen? But thank the Lord. What's our hope? Repenting, changing by the power of the Holy Spirit, asking Jesus to wash us in the blood. Thank the Lord. And it's all erased. The little button, it's all erased. It's like we never did it. Woo! Thank the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. Do you feel guilty tonight? Do you feel condemned? There's hope. If you bring it to Jesus and in remorse, repent. Say, I'm not going to do it anymore. By your grace, help me. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. The stinger has been cut off. Many people ask us when we go to Mexico. I don't know if y'all know. When we started going to Mexico, it was not the most dangerous city in the whole world, but it became that for 5.5 years. And when people would find out, we didn't tell everybody, but sometimes we'd have to. When they found out we were preaching in Mexico, they look at us like you're kind of off in the head because you're going to preach in Mexico because thousands of people were dying daily in Mexico. And they'd ask my wife, aren't you afraid of dying? Getting shot? She'd go, no, neither am I. Why not? Well, if we get shot today, we'll be in heaven that little moment. And besides, if we're doing God's will, don't you have any faith that he's going to protect you until it's time to take you? You're going to believe somehow. You might as well die preaching the word of God. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. It says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And we don't just preach in a closed building. We go outside to the whole public. We don't know when those mafia men are walking around. Praise the Lord, I say, let them walk around. May they hear something that will change them and break the whole thing apart. Amen? Thank the Lord. Do you have that hope that can happen? I do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. May the Lord help us. I thank the Lord that my wife, she was so dependent on medicine. What was it? About 6 years ago. She depended on medicine because she had so many ailments. I even made her a little thing, a little like a tool chest, and I put all the medicine that she needed, and we keep it underneath the trunk. That was before we came to the saints, before we got more light, before we found the true church of God. And she was dependent on medicine. And the day came when the Lord spoke to her, and she threw them all down the toilet. And I can say, I can tell y'all, never again has she taken medicine for 5.5 years. She was, I don't think my wife was afraid of dying, but she was afraid. I don't know what the deal was. Maybe she didn't know more. I didn't either, by the way. I'm not just saying about my wife. I just didn't get as sick as often, and I didn't have to go to the doctor. But amen, thank the Lord. My wife is not afraid to die. You won't catch her taking something because she's afraid to die. Praise the Lord. You know, unless it's something natural that the Lord made. You know, they say that celery, if you eat it, it lowers your cholesterol. The Lord isn't going to condemn anybody for eating celery, saints. Thank the Lord. Amen. We're not trusting the celery. He made it. Amen. Thank the Lord. And so, brothers and sisters, Jesus has taken the sting out of death. That's why we can trust the Lord with every aspect of our life. Or can we? Can we? Amen. I hope we can. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think we can. Oh, may the Lord help us. It tells us in, we're almost finished, saints. Thank you for bearing with me. Second Epistle of Thessalonians. Second Epistle of Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and the God of our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Thank the Lord. We can hold fast, brothers and sisters, to the traditions that have been proven to be true and right, which ye have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. Thank the Lord. Through Jesus we have good hope through grace. Where does our hope come from? Our own good works? No. By that free gift that's given to us, that was paid for by Jesus Christ, his very own life. He is our substitute. He took our place in the cross. When we place our faith in him, that's where our hope comes from. Thank the Lord. If you feel so discouraged with your walk, maybe it's because you're not trusting what Jesus did for you. You're trusting too much in what you're doing for yourself. Oh, take it off of that and put it in Jesus. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord, and he will inspire you to do what's right. But no longer will you trust in what you are doing to save you. You will trust in him to save you. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen? 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 Or do you think you're going to get to heaven? Oh, look what I did in heaven. Is that what you're going to say? No. They're standing before the Lord because they washed the robes in the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Amen? That's why they stand before the Lord. Thank the Lord. But when we are saved and we are transformed, we're not going to want to do the same things anymore. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Let's go to Romans to finish. To Romans. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. What's free? I thought I had to work for it. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift. God gives gifts. The gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. Ooh, says it again. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift. Wait a minute, you're telling me that salvation is free? Yes, we are. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift. Your righteousness, your purity is a gift. The gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all. Who offended God? Adam. Who's the one that made it right? Jesus.
Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, Jesus Christ, the free gift, there it is again, came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, Adam's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, Jesus, shall many be made righteous. 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Praise the Lord. 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank the Lord. It doesn't matter how much penance we were to pay, how many good works we do, we could never pay for this salvation. It's free. It's free. The moment we believe, it's free. Amen. Thank the Lord. And as a result of being washed by the blood and the Holy Spirit now dwelling in us, another person, we become a new man in Christ. And through us, He does the actions. We become like, we have free will, but I sometimes think, Lord, I want to be your, use me however you want me to do. Seen those things on strings, the puppets? Use me, I'm yours. Work through me. Amen? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Isn't that what the scripture says? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Thank the Lord. to finish, I was reading in a microbiology, I think that's right, a book that I bought at a thrift store. It's a lot of it's way above my head, but I was reading to it, just awing of what God created, the little miniature things you can't see with your eye that are in your body, moving around like a different colony, all kinds of cities in your body of little bacteria, microbes, and all kinds of little cells and stuff that are living in your body and all around us, we don't see them. Well, there was a hospital that acquired an infection from contaminated endoscopes in Wisconsin. People in that hospital, they have endoscopes. I've never had it done, but I assume it's a long thing. And they stick it in through parts of your body to, like a little camera to check in you, your esophagus or your stomach or other parts of your body to see what's happening in there. Well, they would take this out. Let's say they used it on a certain person and they put it in a machine to wash it. Well, a lot of people were getting sick and they didn't know why. And they did a study and they found out that it was this thing that they were sticking in the people, that even though they were doing their best to make it clean, they weren't making it clean enough. And they were wondering what was happening. Well, in the machine, it was like a dishwasher for dishes, but it was a dishwasher for this machine, this endoscope. And what had happened is that it was a fiber optic endoscope. They were putting them in these automated machines. Somewhere in there, when it washed some of these contaminated endoscopes, the bacteria stayed in there and it climbed into the hose that fed it the soap, and into the vacuum hose, into the air hose. And when it washed, some would get loose and fall into the water and attach to the machine. And when they stick it in you, you'd get contaminated with whatever was in that machine. How many of you want to visit the hospital again? Sometimes you think, oh, they know what they're doing, but not always. They say, you know, oh, we washed, it's been sterilized. How much? Brothers and sisters, if we're trying to sterilize our own selves and make our own selves holy, we're going to miss the boat. Amen? And we're always going to feel condemned. Let's receive it by hope from the Lord. Let's receive it by faith from the Lord. And He's going to change us. He's going to work in us. We're not going to be the same people anymore. A lot of y'all aren't. I know y'all aren't. I would imagine most of y'all here are at that point where you can say, I'm purely justified, regenerated, sanctified. I'm growing in grace. Amen. Thank the Lord. I'm pure through and through, not by my works, but by the blood of Jesus. Thank the Lord. And those of us here that might not be there yet, there's hope. And we want to give an invitation to y'all to come before the Lord. Bow before Him. If you're not there yet, if you don't have hope, I thank the Lord that you can do that. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You don't have to wait till next week. You can do that right now. Thank the Lord. Hope, brothers and sisters. I'm thankful for hope. I'm thankful for hope that our thoughts can be clothed with living hope today through Christ. Thank the Lord.